Yeah, you're so right, is that you got two things going for you. One, you put the client as the hero. You have more than two things. You have skills, right? You got to have some skills in what your business is. You make the client the hero, and then you make calls that no one else will, right? You're going to succeed with that.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind.
Welcome to the 3 o'clock Coffee Podcast, a place where extraordinary people network together to share meaningful stories that inspire others. Do you have a great story you would like to share with the world? If so, go to 3oclockcoffee.com and sign up today to be on our show. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to click the subscribe button and tell a friend about the 3 o'clock Coffee Podcast.
Hello, welcome to 3 o'clock Coffee Podcast. And once again, it's that time of the day. It depends upon where you are. But it's 3 o'clock here, and it's time for me to have some coffee with some really great people. And today is a really special guest. We're going to meet my good friend, Harry. We're part of the same networking group, kind of co-owners of this franchise together. So it's really kind of exciting. And I met Harry in Palm Beach, Florida. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk to Harry. Harry is the expert on sales and how to sell your product and services. And like Harry and the people that meet on this call, we're solo entrepreneurs. And how do you sell your services? And how big do you need to sell your services? How far, how much business can you actually get? So welcome to meet Harry inside the cafe. So stay tuned. We're going to meet Harry right now. Hey, Harry Spates. How are you? It's Scott. Thanks for meeting me in the cafe. And man, I really got to say thank you for taking the time out to meet with us.
It's awesome to be here in this great cafe, Scott. Thanks for having me.
It's been a great cafe for about 10 years now. I've actually been doing this from in person 10 years ago to online. So it's been an amazing amount of people I've met. But before we dig into anything, can I buy you a cup of coffee?
Yes, please.
What would you like?
It's that time of day.
Like? Absolutely.
I would like to have a little cafe Americano.
Uh-huh.
A nice rich roast suits me just perfectly.
So milk, sugar, cream?
A little bit of cream, but we'll go with the unsweetened version.
So no sugar?
No sugar.
Okay, so I have usually to have the same cup of coffee. And in Boston, I don't know if this is true. I'm a coffee expert, but I'll get my coffee. And I'll say I'll have a medium regular coffee. Do you know what a regular coffee is? Do you know what that means?
In Massachusetts, I do.
Right. In Massachusetts, that's right. It's
like a cream with two sugars, right?
Exactly. It's a regular, right? So I've been going to the same coffee place, and there's been a change in ownerships and change in, you know, team members. And I ordered a coffee the other day, and I said, I'll have my medium regular. Looking at me, staring at me, wondering what kind of coffee I was ordering. I had no idea. And she was her first day. And I said, well, here it is. But yeah, most people don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I just found that out.
Well, I came from, my mother was a waitress or a server in a restaurant for my entire childhood. And she taught me how to drink coffee. And when I learned that a regular coffee was a cream with two sugars, that's, I guess, I haven't used that expression in ages.
No kidding.
Probably really? 30 years. And so it just came back to me just like that.
See, this is what this program is all about. For the pre-show, by the way, we talked about how every time we talk about coffee, what people drink, it always leads to a really unique story. And every single time I talk to someone, it's a unique story. So that's kind of cool. That's a lot of fun.
It is.
That's something new that we learned. But something bigger and better that I want to learn about is your sales program, your sales coaching program they have that is just, well, you tell everybody else because I could talk about it all day long because I think it's awesome. But tell me about your sales program. It's so good.
Well, thanks again for having me here, Scott. So when it comes to sales, there's all kinds of how-to books, how to close business, how to create the perfect sales funnel. There's a lot of things going on. I take the approach that it's not so much what we say, but how we say it and where it comes from. And that is all tied into emotional intelligence. So I believe that we can make a lot of mistakes in sales, but if our heart's in the right place and we treat people well, we listen when they're speaking, we treat them with kindness and show empathy, that a lot of good things can happen. We still have to learn about selling and when to ask for the business and how often to ask and so forth. But there's a lot of things we can do naturally that will help us to be better in sales. And that's what I try to help people with.
So kind of a hot topic. So you're saying it's all about EI, not AI.
Yeah, exactly. AI might help us to some degree, but EI is really where the rubber hits the road, so to speak.
Emotional intelligence.
You can say the perfect closing line, but if you're lacking emotional intelligence as to when to say it or the right tone to say it in, the timing, you name it, there's a lot of things that can still go wrong. And then people will look at it and say, well, I must be using the wrong closing line. It's like, well, maybe the person isn't ready for it, right? And it's happened so often in sales. People want the sale too early and they go for the jugular, so to speak, when they first meet a person or early on in the conversation. And they'll say things like, I can help you with that, before there's any relationship. And, you know, if you don't have a relationship and it's a higher ticket item, then there's a good chance that the person's going to say, no, thank you.
Yeah.
No matter what you say.
Oh, gosh. So many questions to ask, you know. Sales, right? I mean, what's the difference between when you ask somebody, you're in sales, but you sell used cars, right?
Yep.
Or you sell pharmaceutical products from a high-end pharmaceutical company, right? Two different salespeople that the imagery instantaneously, if you're listening, you probably have a vision of these two individuals.
Totally. Yeah. So what's the question on that?
Yeah.
I mean, are they different?
Yes. Yeah. How do you train? And by the way, I'm not picking on any used car salespeople, but I think it's an absolutely fantastic job. And I should do that job. Everybody tells me I should do that. Honest to God. But all growing up and even so recently, people tell me I should do that job. But you train that individual, a used car salesperson, right? Even new car salesperson, right? Much differently than if you were selling pharmaceuticals for a very high-end pharmaceutical company as a sales rep. The sales cycle is different. I mean, people buying a car, they come into the dealership 10 times because of the sales cycle takes so long versus a bigger deal. Or like, how do you coach different people at different levels?
Well, there's a lot going on and you really have to understand what is the product and service that someone is selling and understand if it's a shorter sales process versus something that's going to take multiple conversations. Now, for instance, when people sell cars, they want to do that on the first call. They want to sell the car on the first call. That's why you have the scouts out in the parking lot. Someone comes in, the scout goes out, they talk to the person, they try to bring them inside the dealership. And once they're inside the dealership, management comes over and they have this whole process of trying to sell the car on the first call. Now, some, they'll say there's success in that, but I think they're losing sight of today's buyer, where today's buyer is doing a ton of research. They're curious. They want a nice experience. They don't want to be bombarded. They don't want to be closed. And so you have to make room for those types of people and figure out, you know, someone younger than 40 today doesn't want to go through the same process that someone older than 40 might. I'm just using that as a number as far as buying a car is concerned. Because a lot of people are just choosing to buy it online now.
Yeah, I know. That's the future, right? Just click,
right.
click. It's like an Amazon purchase.
Get rid of the salesperson.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I compare something, I'll always ask somebody, what do you see? And I'll ask this question right now. How do you see the sales process 100 years from today in the car market?
Yeah, well, I think that anything that is an object that does not need a consultative approach to it, people are just going to buy without a salesperson. Now, you know, dealers are always, in my opinion, they're going to try to find ways to get out in the community and draw people towards their dealership. But the reality is we're all trying to do things without salespeople. You know, where it's consultative and we absolutely need a salesperson to help guide us, that's different. But a lot of products that, you know, who would have thought that they'd be selling cars online? And everyone in whatever the industry they're in, they'll say things like, well, that will never hit me. And sure enough, within a short period of time, you start to see it, same stuff advertised online. And, you know, IT services is you can now get online, right? There's a lot of things that used to be very consultative just aren't as consultative as they once were because the buyers are doing a ton of research.
Yeah, no, so, right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Everything's getting commoditized, right?
Yep.
So when I used to coach, train my team members to sell photographs, right? We'd always have a small upgrade or the upsell, right?
Yep.
Would you like wallets with that, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, would you like the photo keychains, right? It was always, and I always used to compare it and say, would you like cheese with that, right?
Right.
And that's the upsell. Do you want cheese with that? McDonald's favorite, you know, upsell, right? But recently, I don't know if you experienced this, but I went to McDonald's not that long ago here in Boston. I walked into the McDonald's and I thought I walked the wrong way. I couldn't find anybody. There was this big wall with a kiosk. Man, did I instantaneously feel like 100 years old. Like I went back in time and there's nobody there to help you. Like person, right?
Right.
So it's a personless McDonald's. And there's nobody that you have to walk into McDonald's and enter in what you want. So nobody's upselling me any of the cheese, right?
Yeah.
So the whole sales cycle in this McDonald's thing, they've just eliminated the person. I mean, I just thought it was incredible. I mean, for me, I don't know. I just thought it was incredible how they actually know that model works on such a big, I mean, they're the king of franchises. I mean,
right.
They know what works. It doesn't. You follow. If McDonald's does it, that means everybody's going to do it.
Well, so, look at Chick-fil-A, though.
It's all about the experience.
Right. I mean, right? Isn't it a much better experience? I mean, you know, comparatively speaking, you've got people who are mentioning your name. They're greeting you in the driveway, you know, in line. They're making the order processing much faster. They're respectful, polite, happy, cheerful, saying hello, you know. And look at the business they do.
Yeah, talk about a shift. Right. That's a shift. Yeah. I mean, I was just reading something the other day where it was like when you go to Chick-fil-A and you say, you know, the customer says, thank you. They're instructed to say, it was my pleasure.
Yeah.
You know,
it's really
very
amazing.
Different. Very different.
Absolutely. You know, and so, you know, I think this is where businesses can stand out in a product that is completely commoditized. Like chicken sandwiches, you can get them anywhere.
Right.
You know, I think McDonald's sells them. I mean, any fast food place sells chicken sandwiches. They'll do their little nuggets, whatever. But yet the customer service is what, I mean, Chick-fil-A is okay. But to me, it's like, I'm paying quite a bit for this and there's really not that much in the bag.
It's okay, right?
Yeah, it's
fast food.
It's not like it's fine dining.
Yeah, right. It's fast food.
Right. Like, but they do a good job on the customer service. So I think that has something to do with why people keep going back and their customer loyalty, I think.
Yeah.
What's your thought? Right.
Well, I know I agree with you. I mean, I've been doing research on the sales cycle and sales process. I'm actually, my sales coach, besides you, Harry, is Donald Miller, who wrote The Story Brand.
Yeah.
And so I talked to Donald about the sales cycle and how small businesses takes up almost 85% of the country, small businesses. And so many small businesses need help running their business. And it really comes down to sales and marketing, right? And of course, it's the other parts that keep what Don says, keeps the airplane in the air, right? And having all components of the airplane functioning for you to keep flying, to keep going. So I believe, and I believe in Donald's model about this, you know, story sell.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about a story and bringing the customer as a hero. And bringing the customer as a hero and the salesperson is the guide to bring them to be a hero, right? To help them with a problem they have that they've solved. And it's like, ah, thank you. You know, they're the hero, but you guide them and they appreciate it. And that model to me, being having a former photography, national photography company and seeing a lot of photographers talk about them. It's all about them. Right. And I'm picking on photographers because I can. I feel like I'm an expert on it. And they say, we do this. And they don't really care about you. They don't care about them, you know, and they don't. I mean, they're good people. Don't get me wrong. Nobody cares about me, you know, in a sales sort of mode. But what can I do to help you is really the question, right? What's your thoughts?
I love it. And I love the story brand. So it's completely aligned with my approach. I feel that storytelling is a key. There's not a lot of keys like it, but when I say many keys to success, your personality, the way you listen, the way you treat others, the way you're able to differentiate between someone who needs no small talk versus someone who wants to chit chat, and become friendly before they buy anything. But making all about the customer, the client, as the hero versus, you know, let me do this and I and me is what unfortunately hits a lot of salespeople. And thus, when you make it about them, the prospect, you stand out completely different than almost everyone else because, you know, even though a lot of people love the story brand, it's still a minority of people who actually practice that. So, yeah, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, I know. And psychologically, people just want to talk about themselves. I think they feel like it's easier. But in all reality, they can't actually talk about themselves in a story. And they talk about themselves in a story about the credibility of what they have accomplished to give the hero, customer, that I can guide you to get you there.
Right.
It's a whole completely different, I'm not talking about myself, but I'll talk about how I was a photographer for National Geographic, and these are some things I've accomplished, and wouldn't you like to get there too, right? So.
Right. Well, you know, so you think about some of the work that you've done, the testimonials or your portfolio that you could show, and you do it in a way that is not like I'm better than everyone else, but when you say it was an honor or it's a real privilege to do this, and you show some humility in all this because it can all go away in a second, right? But some, I think there's a tendency to think that, you know, you'll see someone say, I'm the number one salesperson in this market. And I question if people are really drawn to that. You know, if someone's saying I'm the number one realtor in Boston, does that mean you want to work with that person? I don't know. I just don't necessarily connect with that type of personality. So there are those who may not connect with that. And that's where you start thinking about, well, who's my audience?
Yeah.
Because if I don't connect, someone else isn't connecting. And then now you can pick up some other, not say scraps, other clients that don't necessarily connect with that type of personal branding.
I teeter on the same thing myself. I help photographers build a better business.
Mm-hmm.
So when I talk to other photographers and how that I can help them, what I've accomplished, I'll talk about the time I was at the White House and National Geographic and Google. I talk about these amazing experiences and they're all like, they're really excited to hear about it. And I'm excited to talk about it. And if I did it, you can too. And I will help you get you there. But then at the end of the conversation, it gets scary for them. And I believe why it gets scary. And Harry, this is a good, I'm asking a question, actually legitimate question.
I'm all ears.
So it's like, you know, it's so high up. It's like, oh, I'm the top salesperson. I'll sell everything. You know, and I tell somebody that, oh, I've been at the White House. I shoot, you know, photographer for President Obama. And it's really high. I bring myself up really high, but I do in a very humble way because I am. I really didn't talk about a lot. But I'm talking about it to give myself credibility to help somebody else at that level of how I got there. But here's where it gets sticky. It's almost too high. It's almost like they can see me on the other side of the river, but that river is flowing by so fast that if they put their toes in that water, that it's going to take them down the river. And then they'll see me, but they're scared of that river in front of me. That's too fast.
And what do you think is what's scary for them?
It's almost, they can see it, but it's like they can't see themselves actually crossing the river. They can't actually see themselves actually working for HBO or National, you know, some of these really high-end clients that they would only dream about. It's like they're just dreaming about getting over that river, but man, it's too intimidated. That water's going too fast. And then it goes into a little bit of a metaphor where it's like, well, I'm here to take actually these big boulders and put these big boulders in this big fast running water so that you can get over so you can get on the other side of the river, right?
Yeah.
So it's about creating that metaphor and actually pointing it out, I think, has been helpful.
Well, absolutely. So if you're making it inviting for people so that they look at this and say, well, there's concerns, right? So your services are going to have some investment required. Will they put to use what they're getting from you? Will they make the time? Will this be another failed project like they've had in the past? There's a lot of concerns.
Sure, yeah. Right, right.
So this is where that relatability and storytelling comes in, where I work with a client who has a number of times tried different things that just didn't work. And so we came up with this program, which was designed to kind of create one little step across the creek at a time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they could look back and make progress. And over the period of months, we were able to get to this point. And they've just done amazingly since versus, you know, again, sometimes the tendency would be is to pat ourselves on the back. And then that loses some taste sometimes with our prospects. But sounds like you're doing the right thing. And he's just kind of making it easy and pain-free as much as possible, recognizing that people have made investments in the past that didn't work. And so now we can then become more relatable and understanding where they're coming from. Sometimes that might help.
Yeah, that's good. You know, the other thing, I've been doing a lot more sales lately. Got to pick up my game here, try to get some new clients. But
good for you.
Yeah, no, it's actually, I mean, I could talk all day long, so I don't have a problem with it. But, you know, it's really interesting concept. I ran some ads and you have people, you know, inquire in and they book some appointments with me. They get on a call with me. And after about 30 minutes or 35 minutes of a conversation with them, I would say 8, if not 9 out of 10 will actually stop and say, Scott, I'm actually surprised you got on the call. And I can't believe how, like, this is exactly what I was looking for that you could help me with. But, and the question is, like, I was really expecting a scam. Like, you're real. And I'm like, yeah, isn't it crazy that we're all expecting to be scammed and sold to versus somebody that's actually inviting them into a story, what I'm doing, and telling them that this could be them and this is how we're going to do it. And the paradigm has shifted to, like, it's actually really somebody's really calling me that, like, I'm having this actual conversation with somebody who's not going to scam me. I thought it was amazing that 9 out of 10 people would say that to me.
Yeah, it's really the way, unfortunately, the expectations, the bar is pretty low. So if you can separate yourself, show some concern, some expertise, provide some guidance for people, give them something of value.
You're shocked.
It's a stunning thing. It's
like, I can't believe this. Like, you know, so all the people that are like, you know, as far as if you're in the sales position, right, and you're selling, the competition is so low of somebody really a great salesperson. They're not selling. They're trying to help that other person with the problem that they have, which is not selling to me. I'm trying to solve your problem, right? When you come across that concept of, can I help you? Can I help you? If you have a salesperson say, can I help you? Yeah, I have a problem. My dishwasher broke. I think I can solve that problem for you, right? It's not that difficult, right? But what has happened is the competition is so low that good salespeople that actually come across, not come across, but are, you know, they're doing the due diligence and process of following, of helping the customer. They're doing their job, right? But the competition is so low for people actually doing their job, right? That it almost makes it easier for somebody like me to get on a call to actually talk to somebody.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And just to finish that, and I tell people that with the photography business, is that they'll say, Scott, how did you get National Geographic, the White House, HBO, all these companies? I said, I called them. I said, did you? No. I said, actually, the competition at that level is so low that my probabilities are so high to land these jobs because nobody's calling, because nobody actually believes it's believable that they can actually get these jobs.
That's really great. Yeah.
Right?
That's a nice takeaway.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you're so right, is that you got two things going for you. One, you put the client as the hero. You have more than two things. You have skills, right? You got to have some skills in what your business is. You make the client the hero, and then you make calls that no one else will, right? You're going to succeed with that.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind.
I had a call the other day. I was in the office on Saturday. I said, I'll make some calls, you know. So I made some calls, and this lady answers the phone. And I said, hey, honey, you know, is this Janet, you know? And she goes, yeah. I said, hey, Janet, you filled out a form, and I'm the former National Geo photographer, and I just randomly thought I'd give you a call and see if I could help you with your business. And she starts talking, and we had a great, grand conversation. And then we talked about, like, I just want to help her. And she goes, and I said, I just want to help you. I'm not selling anything, and I want to see how I can solve your problem. She goes, I didn't think you were selling me. She goes, I'll never talk to a salesperson. You know how many salespeople call me on the phone, and, oh, they sell me this, and they sell me that. But I'm like, you picked up the phone and talked to me?
Right. So what were you doing that was different?
I was telling a story, and I was genuine listening to her about her problem trying to build a better photography business.
Yeah.
And I understood her. I'm like, I listened more than spoke. But I was relatable that she felt comfortable to talk to me because just where I came across. I didn't immediately sell. Hey, I got a loan here. Do you need $100,000? And I'll give you $100,000. It's only 49% interest rate. Are you ready to sign? No, I didn't do that.
Yeah. Well, the whole approach then, if you're looking and you're asking about their business, if you're looking to serve and ask about their business and what she's doing today, what's working, where could be some areas that things could be a little bit better. And you're asking questions like that. People don't look at that as selling.
Totally.
But to me, that's discovery.
Exactly. Right? You know, it's like, what problem could I help you with right now?
Yeah.
If we were to start working together right now, what would that one problem be? Like, let me think about that. And, you know, a lot of, you know, chunk it down and really figure out what the problem is. And yeah, it's amazing. It's actually.
Yeah. Well, so someone can walk away from that conversation and say, maybe the person decides that it's a great conversation. How did you leave it with her? Was it going to be a follow-up call? I mean, do you mind if I ask?
No. So it's kind of interesting because, again, I haven't been making sales calls for a number of years, for whatever reason, team members, but I'm getting back into the game here. And so I did something just, you know, from listening, now that Dawn, actually. And so she goes, well, Scott, it was really great talking to you, but I have to get going. But can I talk to you next week about it? I said, yeah, absolutely. I said, how's Tuesday or Wednesday? Now, she thought I was just going to say, oh, that'd be great. Yeah, call me anytime,
right. Whatever.
And I'd hang up the phone and she'd get rid of me. But she actually really interested. But some people just need to be, this is where you got to ask for the sale. This is where there's a teetering where she needs the help. I know she does. So I felt comfortable by saying, great. How's Tuesday or Wednesday? Pause. Tuesday. Perfect. Morning or afternoon? Afternoon. 2 p.m. or 3 p.m.? 3 p.m. Great. I'll send you a calendar link. Make sure you enjoy the weekend. I'll talk to you on Tuesday.
Nice. Yeah, that's the way to do it, right? It's just to, you know, take that extra 30 seconds that took, if that, and schedule the next, right? Schedule it, right? The worst thing that is going to happen is that they say, well, I'm really busy. I can't commit right now. And you get an idea where they are.
It's fine.
It's okay. They're not ready. It's not the end of the world. But if they give you the time, then you've got notifications that are going to give them at least one, hopefully a couple of notifications that they're going to see your name. And then if something comes up, doesn't mean the end of the world again. Doesn't mean they're not interested. Something came up. So now we have basically, if they committed to a meeting, we're going to follow up and just, you know, try to get them to another meeting. Eventually, it may not be for a few weeks, but that's okay. This is what selling is, folks.
Yeah, right. And that's a different approach, right? About just asking, great, next week, Tuesday or Wednesday, morning or afternoon. She made the decisions. I didn't tell her.
Yeah.
Let's talk Wednesday at 3. Okay, let's talk Wednesday at 3 p.m. We'll talk about this. We'll close this deal Wednesday at 3 p.m.
Right.
That ain't going to work.
Yeah.
She told me I was continuing to ask questions.
Yeah.
Just ask questions. I'm controlling the conversation, but she's making the decisions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I think too is that you're making it so it's not threatening, right? Where she's not feeling like you're salesy in the first place. And then by your approach, if she doesn't even think you're selling, then your approach is the right kind of approach for her, which is for the vast majority of people, because nobody likes to be sold last time I checked, right?
Yeah, right.
It's good stuff, you know? So what was different about this? Do you feel like it was scheduling the follow-up call was a little bit different for you?
Yeah, just asking, you know, guiding them to asking multiple questions that guide them to where I want them to go.
Yeah.
Right. And where I ultimately want them to go is booking, you know, if they're not sure, booking on the call, right?
Yeah. So we think of that, and I appreciate you sharing that because that's all great. Now think about it as how we're serving them. You see, most will say, well, I did what I was supposed to do. I got the appointment, blah, blah, blah. And we pat ourselves on the back, which is all good. But how is that actually serving the prospect by putting it in their calendar?
When you actually know you have a product that can actually help them, I'm not just selling them something they don't need, mm-hmm. but I'm actually selling something and providing something that I know, I actually know I can change your life. I actually right. believe it. I know I can. That I know from the questions yep. I asked. So when the time comes and I'm giving her the opportunity to agree on that time that she decided on, I'm helping her more to make that decision. Because some people, you know, how many times? I'll call you back next week. They just, for some reason, some people are afraid to tell you, don't bother me.
Right. You know, yep.
I'm just guiding her to, she probably needs a little bit of time to think about it. And that's fine. But I gave her that option and that's fine. You know, maybe not an hour later. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Okay with it.
And have you ever worked with somebody that says, I wish I did this years ago?
Yeah, I think 9 out of 10 people. I actually tell them, I'm like, I only wish I could call myself 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and I said that today, actually. And the person came back and said, what would you ask him? What would you ask? You know, first time somebody asked me. And so, yeah. I rarely gave him a sincere answer. I would have said, you know, maintain your email list. You know, maintain your email list like it's gold, because it is. Yeah. I mean, somebody could take everything away from your whole business, everything, all your stuff, have a tornado blow through and take your whole business out. You know, who knows? Maybe have a pandemic. I mean, what's the possibilities of that ever happening, right? But you have your email list and you get back and talk to the customers. And that's what I would have told myself.
Yeah.
What would you tell yourself, your 10 years younger or so self?
Oh, I'd probably say take a chance.
Take a chance.
Whatever it is. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think about the chances I've taken in life, and I took a lot of chances, but probably could have used a few reminders along the way for other chances.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, without getting into me, but yeah, I think that's, you know, the fact that when you're helping somebody get what they want, and, you know, it's not just about us. We're getting the calendar invite, we're getting the next meeting, but we're also serving that person to help them get what they want sooner. By nailing it down, nailing a time down, we might save a year off the clock for them of back and forth trying to reach them. And they could thank us for, you know, the next 20 years as how much we changed their lives. So getting that on the clock is actually benefiting them too.
Yeah, and they're buying time. Right? They're buying time.
Yeah.
They can make more money, exactly. But, you know, you can't. You can't make more time.
Exactly.
It's been an interesting process. I've been really kind of enjoying it. One more question. I could talk to you all day.
Sure.
Yeah, I made it kind of fun during that whole conversation there. But psychologically, if you are in sales and you listen to this, there is the psychological point of getting 35 no's in a row and dealing with that as an individual to get back, get in the office to make calls again. How do you coach somebody through that?
Well, a couple of things that helped me over the years is that when I was in heavy prospecting mode, I had to take breaks. Mm-hmm. So my goal was, I mean, whatever the number is, if it's 15 or 20 calls, I'm going to get up, I'm going to walk around, you know, go walk the dog, something, clear my mind, pat myself on the back. I'm doing the right thing. This is all going to lead somewhere, you know, a little pep talks, maybe lifts. Listen to a little motivation. So you got to do that. And then I think when there's days and days of things not really seeming like they're going to work out, make sure you talk to someone that loves you. Find a customer that loves you and you just have a call with them. Just, how are things going? It's been a while since we chatted. Want to see how things are. And they say, oh, everything's great. And it's like, we love you. You've been great. And it's like, once you get that, it's like, okay, that's enough fuel to go the next day or whatever. So we've got to find ways to reward ourselves. And, you know, it's really easy to say not take it personally. But I've always taken stuff personally. I just get over it fast.
Yeah, right.
Right? So I've been crushed on many sales losses, opportunities. I've been crushed, but I don't wallow in it. And just say, you know what, that wasn't meant to be. There's someone else out there waiting for me. I just got to go find them.
You say a while. How long is that? Like 5 minutes or 5 hours?
No, it's a day.
Yeah, right.
It's typically a day.
It's a really good question. I'm joking about it.
No, I get you.
Sometimes it takes me 3 days. It takes me 3 days sometimes if it's like a really bad one.
Well, trust me, I'm not like after suffering a significant loss, I'm not picking up the phone next.
Yeah.
But I mean, it depends on what it is, right? So if it's just someone saying no for 17 times in a row, that's not as tragic as something you've been working on for a long time. And you've gotten all the indicators. You're going. You even maybe forecasted it, and you know the rug has been slipped out from underneath you. And this is like, I didn't see that one coming. No. And, you know, you already counted the money, and you already made the vacation plans or whatever. But that stuff happens, and it makes us tougher in business, I think. So,
one more question. One more part. You up for it, Harry? Do you need another cup of coffee, or what are
you? I'd love another cup of coffee.
All right, let's get another coffee. What is your thoughts about firing the customer?
What are my thoughts about firing the customer?
And this is a little bit, so you've already sold them. Depending on what kind of business you have. If you're in a direct sales role, you do the sales, you move on. That's all you do. But when you're a solo entrepreneur, you actually sold the customer. Now you actually fulfill the order. So maybe you're involved in that whole process. So you sold this customer that you were like, I don't know, but you sold it, right? And now you got them on. You're like, I want to fire them now because they're not just not a good fit. I mean, what's your thoughts about that?
Right. I think the first thing is try to have conversations just like you would with an employee and see if you can straighten it out or make it better where it's tolerable. But at the end, if that doesn't work, it's just like you don't fire an employee unless they're stealing from you, right? Or they're doing something really corrupt. You know, the George Costanza moments in Seinfeld, I didn't realize that was wrong, things like that. Yeah, you got to let them go quickly. But if you're trying to help the person and get better, maybe they show up late too much, or maybe they're short with a customer or something, and you coach them. Well, we can coach our clients as well, but they've got to put some effort into it as well. And sometimes people just think because they're paying you, or paying us, that they own us. Yeah. And they get to be disrespectful. And that's where you have to draw the line in the sand and say, this doesn't work for me. Yeah. This type of treatment, you know, we got a lot of good things going on here, but this doesn't work. And if we do this again, we're going to have to part as friends. Right. And you have those conversations and you say it with a straight face so that they see that you're serious. Sometimes that's what happens, right? It's that, but you've got to protect your own self-worth, I think. You know, and some people are just never going to be happy no matter what you do. And you just say, is this a good use of my time? Again, I'm going to try to coach the person, you know, be polite, do a little research, how you might be able to help the person, where you can help them. But if that doesn't work, you're not obligated to take it for the next 20 years, in my opinion.
I tell the same thing to my team. And, you know, frustrated, you know, I'm talking to them and we'll let them finish speaking. I said, Trey, you know what? Sometimes the ketchup's always going to be too red and the french fries are going to be too salty. And sometimes it's just not going to matter.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of like laughed. And it's kind of like, you know, ultimately that's really what it is, you know. And so we just have to have this conversation because it's not going to change, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and it helps you, I think, too, is when you're looking at your ideal client and you're trying to figure that out. One of the things that you say is, I don't want to work with squeaky wheels.
Yeah.
Right. So you say my ideal client views me as a partner versus a vendor.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And so you start looking at things a little bit differently. So now when you're having a conversation and the red flags are going up, like, you know, a classic example, I'll never forget this, is I was doing a job interview and the person I was meeting, the owner of a company, and the receptionist was saying, this is like the third time so-and-so called. He says, tell them I'm not here. And I went, okay, so this is who this guy really is, right?
Yeah.
That does not go away.
Yeah.
So when you have someone that's lying in front of a person that's considering to work with them, that's not going to get better. So recognize that when you see the red flags, they have meaning and it's best to recognize them and avoid them.
Maybe that comes with age, comes with time.
Yeah. these are lessons you learn.
It wasn't on my quiz. It was not one of the quiz questions on my quiz in college.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
They missed that one. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is great.
Well, that whole thing you mentioned earlier, that time is money. I mean, when do we figure that one out?
Right.
When you start having a lesser amount of time in life, when you realize that, you say, oh, I get that now.
I can make more money, but I can't make more time.
Exactly.
So if you can help me solve that and buy myself some time, I'll listen.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing about coaching. Sometimes people will say, well, that's so expensive. And, you know, the question is, well, do you want to spend the next 5 years trying to figure it out? Because that also is expensive. And I'd rather spend a lot more of the cash, which can be replaced, than those 5 years that cannot be replaced. That's how I look at it, right? So I think the older you get, and I've said things before, it's so expensive. But once you hit a certain age, it's like, yeah, time is money. Time is more important than money. Because I can always replace the money.
Yeah. Can I leave you with a joke that I use?
Of course.
Based on that conversation?
Yes.
We'll leave everybody with this joke a little bit. So same situation. Well, yeah, I had a customer and, you know, wow, how much? I mean, for an hour, how much is this going to be? Right. I said, well, let me explain this a little bit better because I kind of like metaphors. Okay. So I said, you know, I went to the dentist and I needed my tooth pulled. And so I went in there, had my tooth pulled. He was great. 5 minutes. Took the tooth out. It was all good. I said, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It was like, no more pain. Get back to work. Save me all this pain. Took my pain right away. I went to the reception desk. I went to pay the bill. And she goes, that'll be $500. I said, $500? I said, he only worked on me for like 10 minutes. $500? And he reached out into the reception area and said, Scott, I can make it last 10 hours next time.
Yes.
$500 exactly. It is. Seems like a pretty good deal. You know, so, I mean, you want the pain to last forever? What's it worth? What's it worth?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
That's like, good stuff.
That's good, right?
That was I like it too.
That was good. So great. On that note, hey, I want to thank everybody for listening. Harry, if we want to get a hold of you, and we need your wisdom on sales for our teams, where can we go?
Sellingwithdignity.com. You'll find my Get in Touch with Harry all over the place. So feel free to.
What was the website name? Say that again.
Sellingwithdignity.com.
Well, that's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's kind of interesting. You didn't make it about you, did you?
No.
See? Yeah. See? So you're doing what you practice, what you preach. That's great.
Oh, yes.
I'll put
working at it.
That in our show notes and the information below on the podcast. You listen to this. And the great thing about this is this podcast will live hopefully for a while that people get to listen to. If you listen to the podcast this long, you probably do want to talk to Harry. Right? I mean, you went through all this effort. So you want to call Harry. And it's been great. And if we can just touch one live and help one live with that person that listened to this podcast, this is my whole purpose, is change lives and help extraordinary people be better people.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So that's a goal. So if you know somebody that would appreciate this podcast, share with them. Maybe we can all change lives. So appreciate it. Thanks, Harry. And, you know, after down the coffee, how about we grab a beverage somewhere else?
That sounds great, Scott.
All right. Thanks a lot.
It's been a pleasure.